You're with us as we discuss a cultural program for people with early to mid-stage memory loss and their caregivers. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The program, it is called SPARK, and these SPARK initiatives are popping up at museums and art centers around Wisconsin and around the Midwest. Have you attended a SPARK program, maybe in art making or storytelling, drama, dance movement? What was it like? Join in 800-642-1234. Tricia Blasco is one of the co-founders of SPARK. She's also curator of education at the Racine Art Museum. Trish, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So your museum recently held a SPARK program for Racine area residents. Can you walk us through what the program was like?
Sure. So we've been doing this since 2010, and our programs are a good mix of sensory stimulants, but ours are really focused around the visual elements, as we are an art museum. So we always have a piece of art in the program, or several pieces of art that we look at, we talk about, we engage with, and then we bring in other sensory activities to help stimulate various responses.
And the latest program was a virtual program. What effect has that had on as you try to put these programs together?
We were lucky to be able to pivot, as we all love to say, to doing virtual programs in 2020. And our participants have been really engaged with our virtual activities. They're a little different. You know, it's not the same as being here in person together, but we have the ability to create art kits with all kinds of art supplies and various, sensory stimulants that get dropped off by our wonderful volunteers to the participants' homes. And, then each virtual program, again, consists of the same thing we do in person, but it has the ability to go virtual. And it's kind of nice because we can add in a few more elements that we aren't able to do in person. We can show images from our collection and other art images around the world, too.
SPARK makes this really important distinction that it's not about recalling memories. It's not about reminiscing. It's you're really focusing, as what you're describing, on observations and creative experiences and conversations. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that distinction between those two areas?
This program is definitely not a reminiscence program. We never ask the question, do you remember? It's about using imagination. It's about being in the moment. Often memories do come up, and we certainly, explore those more and talk about them. But, you know, we don't ever ask somebody to, have these recall moments that might make them nervous if they don't remember what an object is or why they know what this object is or, you know, what, this memory is referring to. So it's just important to have, you know, a variety of elements that help stimulate a response that's in the moment, that creates a new experience for the person with memory loss, for their care partner, their care families. And that's what we try to do in these programs.
Can you give us an example of that sensory stimulation, that sensory experience of a program that you might put on or a little moment that you might have your group experience?
Absolutely. So, you know, with each program, we try to bring in as much as we can. We often don't get to everything, but we have a bag of tricks that we try to pull from. In the past program that we did in January, again, it went back to virtual just because of where we are in this day and age. And we were looking at still lifes. We have this wonderful exhibit called Watercolor Wisconsin. It's an annual exhibition that we have here at the Wisdom location. It's the 55th year. And there's a lot of still lifes in the exhibit, but there were a couple still lifes that were a little bit funky. So they had, not just, your typical flowers or fruit in the still life, but a kind of a interesting object. So in their box, we wrapped up a weird curiosity that they could unwrap and look at and touch and talk about. And then we also did put in apples, as often you will see many apples in still life paintings. And so, everybody was able to touch the apple, feel it, talk about it, look at the color, smell it, you know, if they had the capability of biting into the apple, that was such a great sensory experience to hear the crunch and, you know, again, extending the smell through biting into the apple. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we like to throw together.
What have you learned about Spark over a decade and change of putting on these programs? What has emerged?
I think it's, you know, really about the person. You know, it's a person first program. We like to create the sense of community within, you know, within our small programs, but in a larger scale. We work with, you know, our 24 plus other cultural institutions and have community within our educators, our peers. We've worked with a lot of other organizations to bring in experts and people that engage with people with memory loss in different ways, whether it's a poetry project or dance or time slips with Dr. Bastings out of Milwaukee. So, you know, it's creating community in a small way, but also on a very large scale.
Time slips, what is that about?
Time Slips is a program that started in Milwaukee. It started with Dr. Ann Basting. She is a MacArthur Fellow. And she started this program about beautiful questions. So asking, you know, for people with memory loss to look at an image and work one-on-one or in small groups to ask open-ended questions and create a story through those questions. And every answer is part of the story, even if it's a little bit off from what you thought the answer would be. So it's all about, you know, open questions and beautiful engagement. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what we do within our programs, how we talk about art or talk about other elements that we bring in.
We're talking with one of the co-founders of Spark, Trish Blasco. The program is in 4 states, aims to make art and exhibitions accessible to people with early stage memory loss. Have you attended a Spark program in Wisconsin or in the Midwest? What was that experience like? Social workers, caregivers, what do you think helps people with memory loss? 800-642-1234 to join in. Trish, tell us about the reaction that you get from participants. How meaningful is the Spark program to the people who go to it?
I think it's probably one of the most amazing programs out there. And I'm not just saying that. From the feedback I get from our participants, I often get emails or phone calls or letters from them afterward, you know, just, you know, saying that, you know, maybe whatever we did in the program that day, they extended it and were able to do something else at home, or they talked about it with their kids or with their grandkids, or, you know, sometimes we'll send extra materials home with the participants and they can, you know, do it with their grandkids or with other people in their home. And, you know, it's interesting because the sad part of this program is that people often age out of the program or they pass away, and you know, it's very difficult. But as I said, we've created this family, this community, and you know, the participants' care families are still invited to come back, and we see often repeat visitors after the person's loved one has died. So I think that really shows how powerful it is.
Yeah, you've really created a community around this program. If a museum wants to start a Spark program, what would be next steps? What should they be thinking about?
Absolutely. So they can contact me or my friend Dawn at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and we host a conference every year. This year it will be in November at the Schlitz Audubon Center, which is an amazing space for a conference of this nature. And we walk them through the whole process, you know, what they need to do. We give them mentorships. You know, they can touch base with their local ADRC or the Alzheimer's Association and get further training. But the conference that we hold every year is a really good start to creating a program. And again, we've created this really wonderful partnership with all these different institutions around Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest, so that there's opportunities to learn and to engage with, you know, lots of other folks who are doing this.
Where do you think Spark goes from here? How do you want to see it look in the next years as you grow the program?
That's a great question. I think, you know, with each program, the program is meant to be small and intimate, but mm-hmm. I do think that we want to expand, and every institution should be doing a program like this. It doesn't have to be Spark, but something similar, because, you know, it really transforms what the institution does. And it's always part of, you know, art museums and other cultural institutions' missions to reach every person, you know, with any kind of accessibility issues or, you know, needs. So it's a great, you know, way to, you know, keep reaching different demographics.
Well, Trish, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Trish Blasco is a co-founder of the Spark Cultural Program for People with Memory Loss. She's also curator of education at the Racine Art Museum. We have a link to Spark. It's at wpr.org/mornings. Just ahead, a dentist shares tips for keeping our mouth and gums healthy. We hear about dentistry, navigating the pandemic, and then answer your questions about oral hygiene. Have you been avoiding the dentist? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.